Let's jump into the Word tonight. Can we do it? Let's jump into the Word. Our 33rd chapter 8. This is our last night with our 30-30 like we've been doing for the last several months, I guess, on Wednesday nights. We're going to be going next Wednesday night. The women will be in here and the guys will be out there in the youth room. The guys are going to be looking at a series called the Conquer Series, really dealing with pornography. And breaking through that, and the ladies are going to be here with Pastor Kimberly teaching you some phenomenal stuff. So we're going to have a great time. So tell all your friends, come on out for 5 weeks and just ask them to commit with you for the next 5 weeks, because they're going to be some phenomenal events as we get together hearing the Word of God. Romans 8, we've been in this book for week after week. We've been looking at certain scriptures. Really, we've been identifying that more so in Romans chapter 8 than anywhere else. Any other combined passage in the Scriptures, in any chapter, we find the working of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And so again tonight, we're looking at Romans chapter 8. Follow along with me, if you will, in verse 26 through 28. Notice what it says. Likewise, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, come on, how many know the Spirit is a Himself? He's just not a wind. The Spirit Himself, a divine personality, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts, this is God, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, verse 28. Now, just by way of reminder, we're not really good, most Christians, and sometimes me, I put myself at the first of the list. Sometimes I want to take a scripture and I want to pull it out of its setting. And this is a perfect example of a scripture that a lot of people have just taken verse 28 and pulled it out of its setting. We can't read verse 28 apart from the scriptures that are before it, and or the scriptures that are after it. Because anytime what we read the Word of God, it's written in context of what's before and what's after. So when we read verse 28, notice what it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That scripture is 100% true, and it can fit in a lot of applications if we do verse 26 and 27 coupled with verse 28. Because I know that God will not work out all things together for good unless there's something that the church, you, me, partner with Him in. And the partnering with God in this endeavor is a partnership in prayer. Specifically, a certain kind of prayer He's talking about, a prayer called what? Come on, somebody. What's it say? Prayer what? Intercession. Intercession. That's the prayer He's talking about. He tells us that in verse 26. He tells us that in verse 27. Intercession. He uses the word intercession. So we can find out here already from these scriptures that the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs or one of the things He brings to us is He brings to us the ability and aids us in our ability concerning prayer. You and I need help in prayer. Can I get an amen? We all have been in situations where you come face to face with a problem, with an obstacle, with a difficulty, personally, or with your family, or with something in maybe the ministry you're dealing with, maybe at work, and you pray everything you know to pray, and it's like you come to the end of praying. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. I'm done. I'm through with everything I know in my known language. The Holy Spirit, we're going to find out here tonight, a few verses, the Holy Spirit wants to come to your aid. He wants to help you. He wants to lighten the load. He actually wants to take the load with you. That's good to know, isn't it, huh? Now, notice what it says in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The word weaknesses means this, our inability to produce the results that we need. So you might want to write that down. The Holy Spirit helps us in our inability to produce the results that we need, the answers that we need, the help that we need. The Holy Spirit, His job is to come and help you in your inability. Now, there's some people that they approach God as all strong, meaning themselves, all strong, I'm in Christ, I'm the head, not the tail, I'm above, not beneath, which all that's absolutely 100% true. But there's certain things that, again, you've got to come to realize, there's things that if we didn't need the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit wasn't going to, if Paul by the Holy Spirit is writing this, that the Holy Spirit's job is to help us when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, and we don't use Him, then we're not going to see the results that we need to see in prayer. And use Him by the way of not using God, I mean cooperating with who God is. That's what I mean. Not use Him in a strange way. So notice on the screen though, and write it down, the Holy Spirit, it says here, for we do not know what we should pray for as well, but the Spirit makes intercession. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We'll talk about that just in a second. But it says here that these weaknesses, again, are the inability to produce the results that we need, but the Holy Spirit will help us, meaning He will take hold together with us against whatever we're praying for. That's what it means in the weaknesses. The Holy Spirit, it says here in verse 26, Himself makes intercession for us. He takes hold together with us against whatever we're praying for. So God's not going to do all the praying, or the Holy Spirit's not going to do all the praying, but the Bible says concerning this kind of praying, intercession, pleading for the inability to produce results even in your own life. Even in your own life. You don't know what else to pray. And somehow you come to the end of your road. You come to the end of your ability. You're almost, we could say, exasperated in prayer. You don't know how to get the breakthrough that you need, although you know the Word promises a breakthrough. You're coming up against it, just seems like a block, and you're speaking to your mountain, and you're fasting. I mean, there's all kinds of spiritual weaponry we know that we have access to, and this is another one here. It says that the Holy Spirit Himself, verse 26, will make intercession. The Holy Spirit will take hold together with you against what you're standing for. Now, let me say this. You can't make the Holy Spirit do this. And that's something that's a little bit confusing, and it's a little bit, maybe uncertain. And there's, because this is Holy Spirit birth, if you will, Holy Spirit given. I go back, years, and maybe some of you can understand what I'm going to say this, is that there were times back in the early 80s where the prayer of intercession was just in charismatic churches and circles was just kind of taken off. No one would even call it a prayer meeting. They called it an intercessory prayer meeting. That's all they called it. Intercessory prayer. So intercession was like at the height and the top of any kind of praying that could be prayed. And people started having, again, in where I grew up and in different parts of the country, where they would have groaning meetings. Groaning meetings. And so the thought was, if you weren't groaning, you weren't really interceding. And if you weren't groaning and interceding, you weren't going to get any kind of results. Only problem is, what I see here, is that you can't groan on your own unless the Holy Spirit gives you a groan. Can I get an amen? Now, I've eaten some Mexican food sometimes too much, and I've groaned. Come on, everybody. Come on. I've eaten some all kinds of food, but that's not what He's talking about. This is Holy Spirit birth and giving. So here it says, though, that the Holy Spirit's going to make intercession for you. The Holy Spirit's going to take hold together with you against whatever you're praying for. Notice, you don't take hold, the Holy Spirit doesn't take hold. But if you take hold in prayer, the Holy Spirit then, according to the will of God, according to the plan of God, and again, I wish I could tell you it happens all the time. I wish I could. But I'd be lying to you, and I refuse to do that to you, to make you feel good or me feel good, or to try to understand the Bible better. There's a mystery here, guys, I'm just telling you. I don't know anybody that's got this figured out. But I do know that if you'll take hold of things, you yourself, and you will rely and trust on the greater one who's inside of you to help you pray, I believe you and I are going to see greater results. Can I say that? Huh? That makes sense, doesn't it? Relying on the greater one, relying on His help concerning this subject of prayer. Now, we're not just talking about praying from your understanding. Not just praying from your understanding, because we know our understanding prayer is going to produce whatever results we've got. So intellectual, look on the screen, intellectual praying cannot produce every answer to your need. Intellectual praying, praying great fervent prayers, praying prayers out of the Bible that are God-anointed, God-ordained, but they won't by themselves produce this, because the Bible says there are times you do not know how to pray as you ought, as you need to. But the Holy Spirit, notice what it says, but the Holy Spirit, He will make intercession. He will come to your aid. He'll take hold together with you against those things. And so I just think that there needs to be, look on the screen, two words I want you to get tonight concerning this. There has to be a cooperation, write it down, there has to be a cooperation and a knowing partnership with the Holy Spirit. Come on, write that down somewhere. Write it on your hand, put it on your leg, do something with it. There's got to be a cooperation and a knowing partnership. When I go to pray, when you go to pray, you're not praying by yourself. Somebody is there every single time you pray. It's called the Holy Spirit. Every time. Every time you pray, He's there. Every time you pray, He's listening. Every time you pray, there's help from heaven. Now, notice what it says. Verse 26 again. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look on the screen. Groanings mean this. Deep sighings or yearnings. Deep sighings or yearnings. It also means this. The definition means agonizing longings that can never find words. Agonizing longings that can never find words. Has that ever happened to you in prayer? I bet it has. Let me read you something. If you don't have this book, this would be a good book to get. Dad Hagen, he's gone to heaven, but he wrote a book called The Art of Intercession. It's a great book. Costs you about $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 on probably Amazon. That'd be a good book to get. A lot of the things that he says in this book, he says by a guy named Wilford Wright, R-E-I-D-T. So let me read you a couple things here. The late P.C. Nelson, this man, he's long gone to heaven, was a noted linguist. Some 30 years ago, a secular magazine called him the leading authority in the day of Greek and the second-ranked authority in Hebrew. He could read and write 32 languages. Pretty smart guy. Nelson said that the Greek in Romans 8:26 actually implies with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. They are uttered, they are spoken, but not in articulate speech. Articulate speech is your regular speech. These groanings, Dad Hagen says, I know both from the Bible and from experience, come from within you, out of your spirit, but to be effective, they must escape your lips. Again, it's the Holy Spirit helping you pray. You cannot express them in your own words. The New English Bible translates it, through our inarticulate groans, the Holy Spirit is pleading for us. Ever been in prayer? And it's just like, sighings, groanings, longings. Let those escape your lips. It's the Holy Spirit aiding you, praying through you. Praying through you. Now, Wilford Reed goes, he quotes him from his book. He says this, we may know not how or what we ask in prayer so that our prayer will correspond with our real needs. The Holy Spirit moves us with groanings, which we cannot express in words, and helps us direct our prayers to the proper objects. Also, to help us to be specific is a part of the groanings. These groanings, yearnings, are according to the will of God and express His care for us. Although we cannot understand the groanings, Greek sighings, they are intelligible to God. That's really nice. Even though we can't understand, they are intelligible to God. He always responds. Listen to this. In adverse circumstances or conditions, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings. In adverse circumstances or conditions. That's main. I'm not talking about you had a bad day. No. I'm talking about your kids on dope. I'm talking about you sense demonic opposition everywhere you go. I'm talking about you're up against darkness. I'm talking about it's like you're chained and you're shackled and you don't know what to do and why is this going on? The Holy Spirit wants to come together and take hold together with you against that and He will pray through you with groanings in inarticulate speech. They must be uttered from your mouth. Must be uttered from your mouth. Now, this is only mentioned here in the New Testament concerning this. So we can interpret it not to happen daily. It's not to happen daily. I want you to turn real quick over to, or look on the screen, just write some of these things down. I think they'll help you. Let's talk about Jesus and Lazarus real quick. Jesus and Lazarus in John 11. John 11. Notice we can't read the whole chapter, but it'd be good for you to read the whole chapter by way of reminder. John 11:4, notice what Jesus said here concerning Lazarus. He said, when Jesus heard that about Lazarus was sick, He said this, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The sickness is not unto death. Lazarus isn't dying, he's not going to be gone. This isn't going to be glory for the devil. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God may be glorified by and through it. So even though we're going to find that even though Jesus knew this was God's will, He still prayed. Even though Jesus knew this was God's will, He still prayed. So this is the will of God in every situation you come against. Sickness, any kind of situation that we have a word from God from the Bible, it's not unto death, it's not unto doom, it's not supposed to be the end. But this, whatever's coming against me, it is to now bring glory to God. If I will do what the Bible says, God will get glory in and through this trial and this affliction. Now what I do know is that God's will doesn't necessarily come to us unhindered, come to pass unhindered. Is that again, there's opposition. Jesus has opposition here. What we're going to find out is that Jesus utters a word. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But how many of you know when He shows up, Lazarus has been dead 4 days? There's opposition. There's opposition. Come on, somebody. There's opposition. There's always going to be opposition. Even though you got a word. Even though you know it's the will of God. But listen to me. Write this down somewhere. Prayers, not prayers, but prayers, meaning you, prayers are bolder than non-prayers. Prayers are bolder than non-prayers. So if you're kind of wishy-washy, if you're feeling you're getting pushed around and shoved around by the devil, I would encourage you to start praying to God and start using your authority, as we said on Sunday, because a boldness and a confidence and a stalwartness will come in your life, and you'll start seeing some things happen in your life just using your authority. In prayer, and again, making your voice heard in the realm of the Spirit. Letting your voice be on display to the principalities and powers, like we read on Sunday from Ephesians chapter 3. Now, we did say on Sunday from Matthew 11 that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, right? Matthew 11:12, and the violent take it by force, right? So there's got to be an aggressive coming against darkness and demonic opposition from a place of intercession. From a place of intercession. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this. I believe His greatest secret, if you will, was that He slipped away daily. Lots of times it says in the morning before anyone got up. And He was communing with the Father. And I guarantee He was slipping over into intercession, praying for even those His disciples and praying out the will of God, the plan of God for the day, the week, the month, the 3.5 years that He was on the face of the earth. Prayer will always prepare the way. And interceding, again, allowing the Holy Spirit to take hold together with you against something. Against the religious spirit that He was dealing with. Against demons trying to kill Him right and left. Against all kinds of hell breaking loose against this one God man. He had to find refuge with the Holy Spirit in a place of prayer. And so will you. Look what it says in John 11. Help me out with John 11, 21 through 23. I don't think we have it on the screen there. John 11. Can we get back to that? Can we throw another scripture in there, Brendan? John 11, 21 through 23. Y'all got it there in front of you? Huh? John 11, 21 through 23. I guess I could actually open up my Bible, couldn't I? John 11, 21 through 23. Notice what it says. Martha, remember Jesus shows up? Here's Martha. Martha says, Lord, if You had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's a good confession, isn't it? Come on, I like that. You would have been here. Things have been different. That's good. Martha said, now Jesus says, look, well, look, verse 22, she's still talking. But even now, I know, come on, but even now, come on, circle verse 22 in your Bible. Come on, write it down, put that on your tattoo. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Come on, whatever you ask God, Jesus, God's going to give you. Well, how many of you know God will do the same thing for you? Come on, everybody, He'll do that for you. Then Jesus says this, look at this, your brother will rise again. Wow. Your brother will rise again. How many know that's a prophetic declaration? He's going to rise again. Look what it says in verse 28. Verse 28. And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, your sister. She said, the teacher's come, is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. And when Jesus had yet come into the town, Jesus was outside in the place that Martha met him. Then the Jews who were in her house were comforting her. When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, fell down at his feet, and she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. We've got some ladies here that they just believe in the power of Jesus. Come on, everybody. Come on, they believe in the power of Jesus. If you'd have been here, things have been different. They both got it. They both got it. Now Jesus says, this sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God. But there's a fight getting ready to go on. There's a fight. And Jesus already told the disciples, remember Thomas went, or one of the brothers, they said, you know, Jesus, he got tired with the disciples early on. We didn't read it, but they said, well, Jesus, you know, we can go. And Jesus says, listen, he's dead. He's dead. And then Thomas or somebody said, well, good, we'll go and we'll die with him. They didn't even get it. Read it. It's kind of humorous. They just didn't get it. Now, Jesus was saying, no, he's really dead. Verse 33 and 34. Keep reading here. We're talking about intercession, remember? Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, notice this, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? I said, Lord, come and see. Write it down, number one. Come on, write it down. He groaned in the spirit. He groaned in the spirit. Write it down somewhere. In an old Dakes Bible I've got, here's what Dr. Dake, Finnis Dake, man, he's long gone to heaven. 100 years ago, he wrote this. The word groaned means to snort as a horse does from fear or anger. That's what it means in the Greek. What he was moved against was no doubt the satanic powers that held Lazarus. So Jesus comes there. Jesus sees the sister weeping. And the Jews who come weeping. And it says that Jesus snorted as a horse does in fear or anger. Just inside him. Just, we would call it Holy Ghost spiritual rage at what's going on, what the devil has done to his friend. Jesus is getting ready to top over the devil right here. Something's welling up in Jesus, in his spirit. Notice, and he was troubled. Come on, say troubled. Trouble. Write it down. It means to be agitated in your mind. To be agitated in your mind. Now, I don't know exactly 100% what this means, because but it means to be troubled in your mind. It means to be troubled in your soul, where, again, Jesus is a man. He's a God-man. But he's coming, and he's seeing people, and he's coming, and they're weeping, and the sisters, Martha and Mary, that he loves dearly, and his friend's dead, and there's all kind of emotions that are coming in this God-man, Jesus, and he's troubled on his mind. I'm sure the enemy was lying to him. I'm sure he was hearing demonic thoughts where the devil's right there saying, you're not going to raise him. He's dead. He's been dead 4 days. What do you think you're doing? And Jesus is having to battle through this darkness just like you're going to have to do. You're required to do it if you're going to get a breakthrough in intercession. You're required. This isn't, Lord, just let the mountain move. Lord, just... This is something that doesn't happen all the time, but it's something when hell comes against you and your family and what you love, be it a church, be it a nation, be it what's going on in Iraq, be it some kind of prayer project that God lays on your heart, you are required to push through and stand and let what's in you come out of you being uttered through your mouth. Notice verse 35. He's not done. Verse 35, shortest verse in the Bible. We pass over it. People just think, oh, sweet Jesus, you know, he wept with those who wept, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? Did Jesus hear that? Maybe he did. Maybe he had to deal with those negative words, just like you do. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, stone laid against it. Notice verse 35 again. Jesus wept. Come on, say that. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Notice on the screen, expressing the humanity and the emotions of Jesus. His weeping was not just sympathy, I'm convinced, or compassion, but it was Holy Ghost intercession. He wept. Listen, he just wasn't wiping his eyes. He wept. When's the last time you got so angry at something? It was your spirit, soul, and body coming against something, and it made you weep. I think we need to partner and cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pray through us. Groanings in inarticulate speech. Longings of the Spirit who fills us to allow God's plan and purpose to come through us. Some of the people you know held in bondage, never get free. Some of the Christians you know, loosed, chained. This is their lifestyle. I've been around here for 13 years now. I see it all the time. I see people loosed, people chained. People loosed, people chained. People come to church, fired up, 2 months later, out of church, back hooked on something. Loosed. What's going to break through? Well, number one, they've got to want something. If they know. But if they don't know, somebody's got to take their case and bring it before God and say, I'm saying no more. Come on, somebody. Help me tonight. I'm talking to some prayers on Wednesday night. Amen? I was brought up in this stuff. And so I just think that I keep saying this all the time, but I know you're getting it. You're getting it. I know you're getting it. God's doing something amazing right now in our church. Come on, everybody. Amazing. People are coming out of the woodwork, getting saved every week. God's doing amazing work in our church. What will cause us to go from where we're at to just exponential like that act, like the Amos 9 kind of thing that makes your head spin? God's decree. What's going to happen? I guarantee one thing is going to be bold praying. And when we come up against obstacles, we just bust through those things in people's lives and go to a higher level. Can I get an amen? It's going to take you. It's going to take me. Jesus wept. It says here also that he groaned, verse 38, in himself. Come on, we'll teach a little bit longer tonight. We'll go kind of like 45:15. Is that all right? Or maybe we'll go 45:45. We'll just pray a little longer tonight. Preacher's prerogative. Make a new slide. 45:45. Notice what it says. Groaning in himself. Again, groaning in himself. Look on the screen. After hearing the words of unbelievers, he allowed his spirit to move in him, and it empowered him to action. Intercession always moves the prayer towards some action. Always. Maybe it's declarations in the spirit. Maybe it's just where you're praying. And again, the thing that's going to happen when you pray is there's going to be a holy boldness that comes in your life, And you'll be like all of a sudden Gideon, who one day you're sitting there hiding in the wine press, and the next day you're knocking over your daddy's idols and the nation's idols, and you're blowing a trumpet. You're lifting up your voice. People are coming to you. Boldness comes in your life. It says here, Jesus was groaning again, maybe again after hearing the words, the negative words of these people. Couldn't this man have opened up the eyes of the blind? Couldn't he have done something from his friend? Couldn't he help his friend from dying? Notice what happens there, verse 39. Jesus says, take away the stone. You know the end. Martha, the sister of him who's dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. Been dead 4 days. Jesus said, notice the words, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Come on, let's make that declaration. Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, here's another prayer. Father, I thank you that you have, past tense, heard me. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of the Father. The Father's going to be glorified in this. But there was, Jesus wept. There was groaning. Groaning. Father, I thank you that you heard my natural tongue, my natural language, but you also heard the groan from my heart. Now, he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit speaking other tongues, but he was filled with the Spirit. Come on, everybody. I know you hear me. But because of the people who were standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. Notice that, cried with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. Wow. How many know it would have been a good day to be close to Jesus on that day? Come on, everybody. It would have been a good day not to be hanging out at Roberto's Taco Shop. He who died came out, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes. His face is wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, what? Come on, help me out with those words. Loose him and let him go. A prayer on earth partnered with God in heaven. And the God in heaven, whose will it was that he be alive and restored, it came to work in the earth. His will be done on earth. Come on, somebody, as it is in heaven. And Jesus was part of that process, and you will be too. I want to finish tonight, and I want to read you some stuff here from this book again. Listen to me real carefully here in closing. Jesus had compassion on the people and asked us to share in that compassion by praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest. Jesus was also moved with compassion and healed the sick. Jesus was moved with compassion and fed the 4,000. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the blind. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the leper. In His compassion, Jesus healed every person who asked. Jesus taught His disciples to share in His compassion by sending out the 12 and then later the 70. His compassion was to be carried on after His ascension as He made healing one of the signs of the believers. Human sympathy says, I know how you feel, I'm so sorry. Divine compassion says, I know how you feel, and it brings deliverance. Jesus felt as Mary and Martha felt as He groaned within and also wept. Jesus' compassion brought deliverance. If we have the divine compassion of Jesus, there will be deliverance. But I think too much of the time we've tried to bring deliverance without divine compassion. That's where prayer and intercession comes in. Weeping with them that weep brings deliverance. John G. Lake, who maybe some of you have heard of, is known for his ministry with marked and apostolic ideals. He did an amazing work in South Africa just after the turn of the century, last century. So many healings took place in his church in Johannesburg. Report of them reached the leaders of the nation. Some of the top government people sought him on behalf of the wife of a government official. When Lake went to her home, he found her bedridden with terminal cancer. He determined that she was a Christian. Then he began to give her scripture to teach her about divine healing to get her faith activated. She made a decision to trust God for her healing. The doctors had given her up to die and were only giving her pain relievers to keep her comfortable, but she decided to stop all the drugs. She said, "If I'm going to trust God for my healing, I am, and I'm going to throw myself completely over on His mercy." She was in such pain, Lake said, that one of the ministers of the church and I stayed at her bedside around the clock praying. As we prayed, she would get relief. One morning, after having prayed all night, John Lake went home just long enough to bathe and shave and started back to the house. "When I came within two blocks of the house," he said, "I heard her screaming in pain. At the sound of those screams, somehow I seemed to enter into a divine compassion." That's what you do in intercession. Lake entered into the sufferings of Jesus. He began to feel just like Jesus feels, for Jesus can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Hebrews 4:15. Lake said, "I found myself running those last two blocks without even thinking what I was doing. Without thinking, I rushed into the room, sat down on the edge of their bed, and I picked up that emaciated body in my arms like a baby and began to weep. While I was weeping, she was perfectly healed." Somehow, the compassion of Jesus, the love of God, was able to permeate my heart and my spirit. Dedicated believers can enter into that area of compassion by one way, and you will not get there any other way: fellowship with God. You cannot fellowship with God, you cannot sit in the presence of God without His love permeating your being, without His compassion flowing into you. Probably the highest form of prayer might be this prayer of intercession. Taking hold together, allowing the Holy Spirit to take hold together with you, and allowing what we just heard, divine compassion, to flow through you towards somebody or towards something. I want to encourage you that I'm so grateful for Kimberly, and I'm so grateful for our relationship, that, you know, 30 years of marriage together, pastoring the church, you know, this church and another church, and four kids, and coming up against obstacles, again, you know, for ourselves, but obstacles in other people's lives, that the value, the great asset we found in allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us and pray through us concerning and in this vein. Not just quoting scriptures, that's absolutely necessary. Not just confessing the word, that's 100% necessary. But this type of praying that the Bible says, "And now I know that all things are going to work together for good. I know because I prayed according to the will and the purpose of God." It can happen in one night where you're burdened and you pray and it's like the burden lifts. It can happen where it's night after night, week after week, month after month. There's a burden and you pray and you allow groanings to come through you, signs to come through you, where your spirit, your soul, and your body are connected with a divine assignment from God to be a vessel through which He can flow through in prayer. Breakthroughs will happen that haven't happened other places and other ways. This is something that we must know about, we must recognize, and we must yield. Everybody in the room, I guarantee you, I 100% guarantee you, I guarantee you, that there have been times in your Christian walk where you come up against not knowing what to pray, and maybe you sensed it, maybe you didn't know what it was, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you in this realm, you're going to see breakthroughs in your own life and breakthroughs in the people's lives that you love. Amen? Come on, stand up tonight, everybody. Does that make sense? Everybody, did that make sense? Okay. Well, we just need to, we need to be open to pray that way, right? And so, you know, we just can't say tonight, well, we're going to have a groaning meeting, because that's out of order, right? We just heard that, that's out of order. But there's been times, you know, where, you know, even in a corporate setting, you know, again, I've been around the block long enough to see abuses and see things done right. And in a corporate setting, you know, I've seen lots of stuff. I have just, you know, I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I've been a part of the good, bad, the ugly. I've been a part of stuff in meetings myself where I've conducted and I've let things go on that shouldn't have gone on, to be honest with you. I've been part of meetings in prayer where you've got unbelievers present and unbelievers are going, what is going on? And the Bible talks about you're out of order if that happens. So we're trying, not trying, we're endeavoring, that's the word. We're endeavoring to allow everything that goes on in the church to be decent and in order. But also, remember, decent with man might not be decent with God, because He's supernatural. Does that make sense? But concerning this kind of praying, here's what I just say, and we'll throw it out to us on the CD or online, anybody can listen to it. If you're in a church setting, you're here, and all of a sudden, a burden comes to pray, and you know, and you pray in this way. You have been allowed by God. You've been used by God. You've been yielded. You've been used in this way, in groanings, inarticulate speech, signs, deep longings. There will be noise. There's noise coming from you. Must be spoken. But in a corporate setting, in a church service, that's not proper. So what you need to do is you slip out. You walk and pray. You go to a back room if it's available. And you kneel and pray. You go to your car and you pray. You wouldn't do it in the office because people would think you're crazy. And the Holy Spirit isn't going to make you or the Church of Jesus Christ look foolish or crazy. And there's times even at night, I find Kimberly, she finds me, slipped out of the bed, pacing the floor, got a burden praying. There have been times I've just slipped over on my side of the bed, not trying to disturb Kimberly. I find her doing the same thing, praying. Praying. We just want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, because our world's getting crazier. Demonic assaults against our families and our kids and the will of God are getting stronger. It's going to take this kind of prayer to have breakthroughs. Thank God it's available. It's available. It's available. So tonight, let's just kind of do something not different, but let's just pray. I've got a word on my heart. The word is multiply. Come on, everybody, say multiply. Multiply. Let's pray for several scriptures tonight. We're going to have scriptures on the screen, and we're just going to pray the word of God tonight, and you just hook up again with your known language.